any chip on the floor, man.
Some neighbors were saying way too loud.
That's only in the morning. You supposed to be up cooking breakfast or somebody. That's like an alarm clock. Woo!
Welcome in, everybody, to a brand new episode of the world famous Loose Lug Nuts podcast. I'm back after a little hiatus. I'm Evan Roberts, joined alongside, as always, the staple of the program, Thomas Dick. And we were in Martinsville last week, and I've got some issues.
All right. Well, and we're actually with just a real brief synopsis of the week before, too, in Richmond. Just who won and the debacle at the end of the cup race.
Yep.
But going first, let's do news.
Okay.
And then we'll do that.
NASCAR hired longtime ESPN executive John Dahl as senior vice president for content. He's won 11 Emmys, and he was one of the original executive producers for ESPN's 30 for 30, and was the lead executive producer of The Last Dance. Which was pretty good. So I'm kind of interested about this hire and what all the.
And I think these are real Emmys. I don't think these are the fake Emmys that ESPN. You remember that? Did you hear about that story?
No, I didn't.
So they would win. Like, you get a group of Emmys, and they would, like, so on a show, you would get like 10 Emmys for the show. Well, they would write a fake name for a couple people that was close to one of their hosts' name. Like, instead of Scott Van Pelt, it would be Sam Van Peter Wank or whatever. And they would get the trophy, but then they would have someone put a different nameplate on it and give it to that person so they would have it for their office or whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was big news this past summer. So I think these are the real ones. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I guess content is king.
Yeah.
I'd prefer good racing.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. before that, though, after, I believe this was in between Richmond and Martinsville, if I'm correct, Denny Hamlin and Marcus Smith of SMI got into a social media spat. They were going back and forth. I believe both of them apologized afterwards, but there are some bad photos or photos of bad spots where they're repaving Sonoma. Smith called out Hamlin for never winning a title.
Well, and then first Hamlin called out.
Yeah, for the paving.
Yeah.
And then Smith called Hamlin out for never winning a title.
Which seems odd. Like, 53 wins.
Yeah. And then Hamlin also says that 2311 has invested more capital in the sport than Speedway Motorsports has over the past decade. They went back and forth. But then they both kind of were just like, hey, man, I'm sorry about calling you out like that, but be better.
It's weird because I read somewhere that while this was going on online, they were texting each other offline. Like, why didn't you just handle this through texts?
I guess once
Denny opened the seal, like, it was yeah, I don't know, just a bad look. But Denny was right.
Yeah, I mean, the photos looked pretty bad. If you haven't seen them, look them up. But
yeah, they're supposed to race there this year.
Yeah, a little bit later, I believe.
Yeah, they were supposed to do a tire test, and that's when they're like, "We can't do the tire test because the track's all messed up."
Yeah, but in other news, negotiations still continuing to bring racing to Nashville Fairground Speedway. I feel like we've been talking about this at least since the show's been going on, which is, we're in year three now.
Yeah, four.
Year four. So this has been going on for quite some time. The same mayor who ran for office on opposition to a plan for the city to help build a new stadium for the Tennessee Titans doesn't seem to be too keen to have the city help getting racing at the fairgrounds. The neighbors who bought houses next to fairgrounds, they're probably still complaining about noise next to a fairground, too.
Yeah, and I came up with a grand idea. Move the Tennessee Titans to North Wilkesboro.
They'll get support there.
Yeah, and they'll have an underground moonshine cave.
Oh, yeah.
Where apparently Dale Jr. took young ladies to make out.
Oh, Also, a little plug. I don't know if you've listened, but Dale Jr. had a friend of the program, Bobby Hillen Jr., on his podcast. Pretty good. He gave our good friend Luke Hillen a shout out. Dale Jr. did.
Well, I feel like Bobby cheated on us.
Well, it was a pretty good episode. I listened to it on a flight. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
They were
well,
just
who
talking
had
about
the idea
school.
To interview Bobby first, though?
We did, for sure.
Yeah.
We had the inside track, though. Thanks, Luke. The last
wait, piece... did he give a shout out to Loose Lug Nuts on the podcast?
They did not, just Luke, so kind of.
Wow, okay. Well, I know who's on our side.
Last bit of news, CW is broadcasting the final 8 Xfinity Series races of the 2024 season. I'm a little indifferent on this, because some of the LIV Golf stuff has been cut off by regular shows, so this will be interesting.
Yeah, like, is NASCAR overtime going to be interrupted by Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Or what's that? Smallville.
Oh, yeah, that's another good one.
But, yeah, I don't know. I checked YouTube. I think I get it. I don't know. It's buried deep in the bowels. It's, like, below True TV. It's that low in the bowels of my YouTube, what I've watched. I think it's right after the Young Turks. The news network.
True TV. We're now until next March when the March Madness is going on. They'll be showing Impractical Jokers for the 24-hour.
Which week. I, ever since the one guy left, I really haven't liked it as much.
Yeah, it's still good, like the old
especially because they have like Ian Michael Black on or whatever, and that guy's not funny. Michael Ian, he's stupid. No offense if you're listening.
Yeah, we'd love to have you on.
No, we wouldn't. He's a go-man.
But let's quickly recap the Richmond race. We missed that one. No episode last week. It was the Toyota Owners 400 at Richmond. This was pretty interesting. They started out on wet weather tires. They're not really rain tires, but they're the first time using these in points races. They used them last year in North Wilkesboro. I thought it was pretty interesting. They had a competition caution at lap 30 where they declared it a dry race.
I like the fact that they got the race started, but everything was confusing to me.
Yeah.
Because so they go racing, the tires like held up better than a lot of people thought they would. Like they got better grip and whatnot than the dry tires. But while they're racing, the pit road is not dry.
Yeah.
Or dry enough to have competitive stops. Why they couldn't keep, I know why they'll say safety, but I could see a car coming if I'm a dryer thingy. So they do the 30 laps, competition caution comes. They're going to do non-competitive pit stops, which means take your time. You come out the way you go in. But then they actually red flagged the race because it's too dry to even do, or too wet to even do that. So then they do the stops, but then they come back out and do more. It's 17 yellow flag laps plus the red flag before
so
they
we
got
had a little bit. But the important thing was that they had weather to before the race started, and they were able to get it started. And I think
it would have started way
late. I think
late
it's
if
a
they
good
didn't have
step
those
for NASCAR to move forward. So hopefully, I don't know if they'd be able to race ever in like a rain, like when we went to Texas.
They said it'll never be like active rain, except for at road courses they might, but never at a track. Now the other thing I noticed before we get to the end of the race, the Fox booth is. It's discombobulated.
Yeah. Well, I want to get into that once we get to the end because I have some opinions. But you mentioned that there, it just seemed, there's a lot of disconnect there, and we'll see it at the end of the race too. But we'll pick it up with 20 to go. Martin Truex Jr. is 1.9 seconds ahead of Logano and 2.1 seconds ahead of Hamlin. Hamlin, who had a really good long runs, he appears to be losing steam as they're in lap traffic. With 10 to go, Logano's weaving through lap traffic better than Truex, and he's gaining a lot of time. He's only 7/10 of a second. With 7 to go, Truex has about a half a second lead over Logano, and it looks like it's going to be tough for Logano to get by. And then with 4 to go, it looks like Truex will win if he successfully gets by the lapped car of Todd Gilliland.
Which he does.
Yeah. And then with about a lap and a half to go, Hamlin, who's in third.
No, his driver's in
Oh, yeah, you're
yeah.
talking Bubba Wallace. He gets into a wreck with Kyle Larson. Larson gets spun out on the front stretch, kind of goes into the infield. They're battling for fourth, and that brings out the yellow that helps Denny. Everyone will pit because they need fresh tires. And then Hamlin ends up getting the lead as he has a 9 second pit stop compared to Truex and Logano, who had a 10.3 second pit stop. So that gives Hamlin the lead. So he's going to take the inside. Truex takes the outside on the front row as we head to overtime. And this is where things get really interesting. They have the camera, Fox does, pointed at the, like turn three, exiting turn four. Well, they don't show the leaders taking off. They just show like everybody going by, which is very weird because that's cool to show when there's 100 laps left,
Yeah, when you got
not when
that,
it's
crank it up.
overtime.
You got to
Yeah.
crank it up. It's not
And
cranking up.
so we see, and finally, it's about when they're exiting turn two that we see the leaders. Hamlin has the lead, and then he runs Truex up the track, takes the lead, and then he holds off Logano for the win. And this is where things got really dicey. Martin Truex is pissed to all get out. And I haven't seen a driver get this mad at the end of a race in a long time. But, and again, Hamlin is his teammate and he's bumping him out like on the victory lap. He's bumping him. And then you see Bubba Wallace and Kyle Larson, they're bumping cars too. It was very interesting to see. But then we see the start. And the replay shows that Denny Hamlin started before the restart zone. Fox doesn't show it well after.
Yeah,
Mike
they
Choy
had done the
says,
interviews before they showed the restart.
and the interesting thing, and this is where I thought the booth was discombobulated, was Kevin Harvick was the only one in the booth that was like, what the hell just happened? Like, obviously, Hamlin jumped the restart, and Clint Bowyer's like, no, he won that race on
Yeah,
pit road.
he's like,
Like, he.
I saw he jumped early. He's like, I know what he saw. I saw he won the race. It's like,
Yeah. And so they never really get into it. And I thought that was very interesting. And I want to know the dynamic of like, was Fox afraid to dog NASCAR a little bit? Because all Mike Joyce said is, hey, there's no review of the start, but it's very clear. And then the next week at Martinsville, they show the restart and they show the, God, what do you call it? Where the throttle and the brake,
yeah, the
I forget.
data.
Yeah,
Let's
they
say
put
the
that
data.
up there, and obviously, and they both kind of started a little early, but Hamlin very much jumped the start. But then the whole week after, Hamlin is just talking shit to fans on Twitter, just like, can somebody please drop a paint scheme so we can stop talking about this? And I'm like, dude, you jumped the restart.
Well, here's an issue I had. Like, so all the guys, Harvick's sort of saying he jumped it, but everyone else is like glossing over it. Like, nothing happened here, nothing to see. Well, then they spent, then I actually say it in the pre, the Martinsville, they spend 10 minutes of the pre-race show, a whole segment, talking about the jump restart that allegedly didn't happen.
Yeah.
And
And
then not only
obviously.
that, they interview Truex on pit road, like to talk about it. So they get dedicated like 15 minutes to this thing that they said didn't happen after the
Yeah.
race.
But like to Hamlin or they interview Hamlin and he was fine. And then I thought the one that handled it the best was Kyle Larson. I thought
Yeah.
he handled everything gracefully. And he just hit, I think him and Bubba were friends, are friends. I think when Larson won his first race after the suspension, Bubba was one of the first ones to like congratulate him and everything. I thought they had been friends. So Logano was just kind of talking like, hey,
Well,
like I know
no,
he
they
was
got in that
upset.
fight. Remember that fight? You're thinking of Blaney.
No, it was Larson when he got his first win. I know Bubba and him. Anyway, Larson was
No,
very
you don't
calm.
remember the fight? And then he
No.
stomped off and went to the, they wanted him to get in the ambulance and he never got in the ambulance.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh
But
my God.
anyway, Larson handled it the best out
Yeah,
of
oh,
them. So he
definitely. I
just said,
just.
hey, it was hard racing, whatever. And then Bubba did come up to him while Larson was talking to the reporters and apologized for his actions. But it was a very interesting end, and I thought Fox did a real disservice to everybody
Fox was
watching.
terrible. And the other disconnection is they're always stepping on each other. And they'll be like, he's getting ready to hand, like Mike Joy's getting ready to send it down to Jamie Little. And Clint Bowyer will just yell something. And then there'll be long, awkward silences.
Yeah.
But yeah, very
So
sad.
yeah, Denny
But it'll
Hamlin
all
got
be
his
on CW soon.
yeah. Denny Hamlin got his 53rd career win. Joey Logano, Kyle Larson, Martin Truex, and Chase Elliott. In the top five, Christopher Bell, William Byron, Brad Keselowski, Chris Buescher, and Tyler Reddick rounded out the top 10. Yeah, we kind of hit on this, but as far as the last restart, NASCAR changes the story every day. They say it was reviewed, but a change couldn't be made.
They kept sending Elton Sawyer out, and he kept saying different stuff. And he's like, we would have done it if there was 200 laps left, but there wasn't time to do it. It's like,
Yeah. Which is it goes back to, like, you know, if you call a foul with, like, 1 second left, yeah, like, do you call it then? And, like, if it's
well,
a foul,
the thing
it's a
is,
foul.
They penalized SVG with on the last lap.
Yeah,
like he barely inches away had gone over the whatever the hell it was called, and
yeah,
they penalized him 25 points basically. So very sad.
So that was that at Richmond. We head to Martinsville for the Cookout 400. Kyle Larson won the pole. He's next to Bubba Wallace, so people were a little interested in that. Next row was Chase Elliott and Martin Truex. And you got a hot take about the Hail Melon clip.
Yeah, I'm tired of them using the Hail Melon clip to promote everything. They showed it like 69,420 times on their social media stuff. And it's like, you banned it.
It's like,
this is
the NFL,
NASCAR.
It's
this
like
is
the
not...
NFL when they promote like hard hits.
Yeah.
And a guy like helmet to helmet and they promote, oh,
like,
yeah,
this
we're
is...
hard hitting league. And they're like, well, that's a fine now. So,
yeah, this is no longer NASCAR. So stop showing it. False advertisement.
Pretty cool, though, for Martinsville. All of the Hendrick cars are ruby red for their 40th anniversary. I believe it was of the first win, which came at Martinsville.
Yeah.
Although Mr. Hendrick isn't there because he had knee replacement surgery and is taking longer to recover than expected. And then we mentioned the pregame show or pre-race show. They were talking about the whole incident that happened at Richmond. As we get started, Kyle Larson's out front of Bubba Wallace. And then lap 18, David Starr, first one to go a lap down. Nothing really exciting. And this is, we'll kind of get this after, we'll hit this after we finish the roundup. But lap 68, 11 cars are one lap down. Nothing much is really happening. David Starr's three laps down. But it's been Larson, Wallace, and Elliott from the get-go. But we do see Kyle Busch in the top 10. And then the RFK cars aren't running very well. Keselowski's in 14th. Buescher got lapped on lap 74, and he's running in 26th place. Bubba Wallace makes it a little interesting at the end, but Larson wins the stage, leading all 80 laps. He's followed by Wallace, Elliott, Briscoe, and Truex in the top five, and then Logano, Hamlin, Byron, and Barry round out the top 10.
Yeah, it was not much to see here. It is now Martinsville.
And then stage two, Todd Gilliland leaves with a wedge wrench stuck in the back of his car. He'll have to go to the back. Logano does move up five spots with just two tires. He gets a huge restart, and he's out in front of Wallace. And here, it was in stage two, is where Chase Briscoe tells his team, like, hey, you guys are going to win this race for me because not a lot of people can pass.
Yeah, and they don't. Lap 110, 30 to go in the stage. Logano's flying on those two tires because we're not getting much tire wear. Christopher Bell breaks a tie rod. He's going to have to pit under green, but then caution comes out because of debris, so that gives him a bit of a reprieve. Lap 120.
Did they ever show that debris, by the way?
Nah, I don't believe so. At some point, they showed a little thingy, but I don't think it was this one. It looked like a oil can, like they squirted in the Wizard of Oz to keep him from freaking. Lap 120 restart, 40 to go on the stage. Logano in front of Wallace and Hamlin. Then all four ruby red Hendrick cars coming. Lap 169, 11 to go. Denny Hamlin passes Logano. Those two tires are really old now that he didn't change, so he's dropping back. Hendrick cars work him over. He hangs on to finish fifth in the stage. Hamlin wins the stage. Wallace, Larson, Elliott, and as we said, Logano. Top 10 is Bowman, Briscoe, Byron Chastain, and Josh Berry.
Oh, so Josh Berry, two top 10 finishes in the first two stages. Then stage three, Blaney goes two tires to move up eight spots to eighth. But when we restart, it's Hamlin, Elliott, and Wallace out front. And you would never really know that this is the Cookout 400, by the way.
Yeah, you love Cookout.
I do love Cookout.
Yeah, I'm great. Cookout's growing on me. I don't get there enough for it to be a regular place, but the last time I went to Nashville, I went there and it did well. Milkshake's really good.
Yeah. You
But
don't
yeah,
want
they
to bang for your buck.
yeah, I feel like Cookout though should ask for their money back, and Hendrick should have paid for it because they mentioned Hendrick 69,420 times during this race.
Yeah, they did. Was this about when
And
they
they showed
showed
their
the party?
workers
Yeah,
like
when
every
they're
time they had a
interviewing their part or their workers.
yeah, and like come on, there's other teams here. So I wonder who's gonna win.
Ooh, yeah,
Yeah,
you never
okay,
know.
fixed like the Toyota winning the Toyota race. Who's gonna win this Hendrick race?
Lap 194, we get the restart, and it's a bad one for Denny Hamlin as Chase Elliott gets in front. The crowd goes wild. They're pointing, telling him which way to go in the stands. Everybody's excited. Lap 200, all of the Hendrick cars are in the top eight. And then lap
I'm suspecting
203.
the race is fixed.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Still got a lot of laps left.
Yeah, well, okay.
A bad day gets worse for Christopher Bell. He spins around and brings out the caution on lap 203. Six laps later, Chase Elliott out front easy ahead of Hamlin and Wallace. About 40 laps later, it's still Elliott followed by Hamlin and Wallace, and then the other three Hendrick cars. 5 laps later, lap 205 or 255, Hamlin is looking better against lap traffic, and he passes Elliott for the lead as they try to get by Josh Williams, and then Bubba Wallace gets into Josh Williams.
Yeah, Josh Williams. 298, 103 to go. Green flag pit stop start. I always love green flag pit stops. William Byron first to go. Boyer just starts screaming out numbers, though, as Mike Joy's getting ready to hand it off to Jamie Little. It's just, come on. He's just like, he's not saying names. He's just, they're like, William Byron's first to go. And then all of a sudden, he's like, nine's going, 12's going, eight's going. It's like, come on. He's regressed. Clint Boyer has regressed. I liked
Yeah.
him. Like when he was with what's his nuts? The Rainbow Warrior.
Jeff Gordon.
Yeah. But yeah, he's regressed. Yeah, come on. We need someone new.
After all the pit stops, there's about 11 or 10 cars that haven't pit, but we see Chase Elliott. He cycles out ahead of Hamlin. They battle for 11th, but everyone ahead of them still needs to pit. And then Hamlin gets stuck behind Ricky Stenhouse as William Byron and Kyle Larson pass. 90 to go. Byron gets by Elliott as the pseudo leader. Again, this is about eighth, ninth place, but the cars in front of them still haven't pit. 84 to go. It's Suarez and Truex. They haven't pitted. They're hoping for a yellow. 74 to go. The three Hendrick cars are still looking to pass Suarez. And then Truex pits with 70 to go. His chance to win is over. And then Suarez follows with 59 to go.
Yeah, then lap wheel 35 to go. We had multiple roughhousing going on. We got Barry and Stenhouse roughhousing. We got Hamlin and Cindric roughhousing. This is just letting them guys from Hendrick, and they're, I don't know if you know this, they're having a party. All their
Oh,
workers are here. Yeah.
interesting. I hadn't heard.
Yeah.
20 to go. William Byron's 2.3 seconds ahead of Elliott. Nobody else is close except for Kyle Larson. Byron has a really tough time passing lap cars of Chris Buescher and Ross Chastain, which allows Elliott to get a second and a half behind with 11 to go. And then we get another yellow flag. Nemechek is down with the tire. He goes into the wall. We got flames coming out. So you know what that means.
NASCAR overtime,
And
which hopefully CW doesn't cut it off.
Denny Hamlin is the only one that pits that is in contention for the lead. No one else goes in with him. The other ones are Tyler Reddick, Ryan Preece, and Erik Jones. They're in the back of the lead lap. They do just to see what can happen. And then on the restart, Blaney isn't able to menace the front row guys. William Byron claims his third win of the year and 13th of his career. He leads all drivers with 11 victories in the next gen car. Kyle Larson finished second, and he got 53 points to leapfrog Truex for the season lead. Elliott and Wallace finished third and fourth and get huge points bumps with 49 and 51 respectively. And then Blaney finished fifth, Logano sixth, Reddick, Bowman, Priest, and Briscoe round out the top 10.
Yeah, so what we got in the point standings, 8 of 26 regular season races. We got drivers in with multiple wins are William Byron with three big hat victories, Denny Hamlin with two times he beat your favorite driver. Others with wins include Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, and Daniel Suarez. That leaves 11 in on points. We got Martin Truex, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Ty Gibbs, Ross Chastain, Tyler Reddick, Alex Bowman. I always want to say Rusty Wallace, Bubba Wallace, Chris Buescher, Joey Logano, and Kyle Busch. Logano moved up 8 spots the last 2 weeks to get above the cutoff line, so he can breathe a little easier. On the outside looking in, Briscoe 1 point back. Kozlowski 13 points out. Two Legacy Motor Club cars, Nemechek and Eric Jones, are 32 and 35 back.
And before we get into the Xfinity race, this was an interesting race. And I saw a tweet or a post on X that showed if you took all the, like, the Delta out, there's something, basically all the cars were running the same speed. So, like, nobody could pass anything. It was very difficult to do. There's no tire wear. Like, these guys were running out there. Basically, the only reason why they pitted was because of fuel. It was just, I love racing, but damn, it was.
Well, Martinsville used to be better than Bristol, I thought.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
And Bristol was such an entertaining race just with the tire wear and all that. Yeah. Like, the tire wear that you saw in Bristol was night and day to Martinsville.
Yeah. It was not a fun race to watch. Before, like, that, it was one of those races, like, because I watched I saw the end of it, like, and I didn't have the volume on, so I watched it. But then I wanted to go back and watch it, like, with the audio so I can hear stuff, like, a couple days later. It's one of those races you could just keep hitting the button, the forward 15-second button, yeah. And you could just watch the thingy, and you can see when a guy passes another guy, and you can go, like, 10 minutes. You can go, like, 60 laps, and no one in the top 10 moves.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that really made it interesting is when they got through lap traffic or – if guys were battling just because it would slow them down. But once they got through the lap traffic, it was
going back to the Richmond race. I didn't mention this. I cut it out because we weren't around the last week. I don't know if anyone noticed, but they threw out the flag, yellow flag for Kyle Busch.
Oh, like, yeah, going down with the tire.
Like, he hit the wall, but then he wasn't in traffic, and they threw out the yellow flag, and that race could have been so much better because there was all these different strategies that were converging.
Oh, yeah.
And they just threw out the yellow flag, and then none of those strategies meant anything. Everybody pitted, and it was the same. Yeah.
Yeah, so the strategy was there's a group that were in the top 10 that split the stage into thirds, yeah. And then there was a group that was planning on splitting it in half. Yeah. And that would have been awesome to see. I remember texting a couple of people being like, this is such a weak yellow. Like,
yeah.
He went into the wall and then he was fine. Like, he just did his thing. There's no debris or anything like that. It was a very, like, the guy that pulls out the caution is just like, oh shit, oh, I got to press this.
Yeah. Yeah. That ruined what could have been a great second stage. But all righty, on to Xfinity real quick, just to cover the Toyota Care 250 at Richmond. Well, it was Toyota, so you knew Joe Gibbs Racing was going to finish 1-2-3.
Yeah, you had Smith.
Chandler Smith, Eric Almirola, Taylor Gray finished 1-2-3. Sheldon Creed, probably not happy. He's the fourth JGR car. He had a DNF, so very sad. For Taylor Gray, it's a third place, and it was his first career Xfinity race, so really good truck whacking for him. But Sam Mayer probably wanted to kick him in the balls because they had a little incident. And, yeah, Sam Mayer's not Taylor Gray's friend. Corey Heim finished fourth. Jesse Levin fifth. Bubba Pollard, also in his first career Xfinity race, racing for Dale Jr., finished sixth. Kligerman finished seventh. Austin Hill eighth, followed by Sammy Smith and Cole Custer. So Bubba Pollard, maybe he doesn't seem like he wants to race full time, though. He sort of likes the schedule he's got, so I don't think that he'll be the next Josh Berry, but maybe, who knows?
Yeah. At Martinsville, we had the Dude Wipes 250.
Is that for your butt?
Yeah, it's like moist towelette for your rear.
Your butt and your pits. Don't use the same one for both.
Yeah, that'd be, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
We did have a lot of good drivers to the rear. Brandon Jones won the pole. He had to go to the rear. Chandler Smith and Justin Allgaier also.
I think Sammy Smith had to too.
Yeah, and then Cole Custer's in row one with Sheldon Creed, and then Anthony Alfredo and Jeb Burton in row two. As we get started, Cole Custer gets a good launch on the start ahead of Sheldon Creed. Lap 9, Dexter
Dean. Dexter Dean, yeah.
Dane brings out the yellow with a spin caused by Sammy Smith dive bomb. They restart five laps later. Custer powers in front of Amarola and Creed, who are battling for second. And then lap 27, Amarola challenging Custer for the lead and gets by him.
Yeah, this race had a little more action than the Cup race. So I don't know if maybe they just want to get rid of the next-gen cars and bring in the Xfinity cars.
Just for Martinsville, though.
Yeah.
Lap 36, Kyle Weatherman gets into Brennan Poole, who gets into Haley Deegan. The Deegs has big damage on the front of her car. Four of the five Junior Motorsports cars pit. They're flipping the stage. We restart on lap 43. Eric Amarola is out front of Sheldon Creed, followed by Cole Custer and Sam Mayer. And then we thought Amarola might lead Creed or let Creed win the stage, but NASCAR might have frowned upon that. It's Amarola winning the stage, followed by Creed, Custer, Mayer, and Allmendinger, Alfredo Sieg, Austin Hill, Jeb Burton, and not Scott Retzlaff, Parker Retzlaff rounds out the top 10. Third straight stage win for Amarola.
Yeah, he swept the week before. Maybe he regrets not running full-time Xfinity.
He's running pretty well.
Yeah. So stage two. Okay. Here, you want to talk about the tire wear. Sam Mayer doesn't pit at all the first two stages. He's like, so there is zero tire wear at this track. Junior Motorsports is going to be out because, as we said, Mayer, who didn't pit, is going to be in front. But then all those ones that short pitted are right behind him, including Sammy Smith, Justin Allgaier, Brandon Jones, and Carson Kvaal. Riley Herbst and Parker Kligerman have pit penalties. Very sad for them.
Yeah, and then the lap 71 restart, we have a huge pileup. It's Austin Hill, Corey Heim, AJ Allmendinger, Haley Deegan, Parker Retzlaff, Leland Honeyman, Jeremy Clement are all involved. It starts with Brandon Jones, who misses a shift. Deegs has the ARCA brakes. Allmendinger's done. And then Austin Hill's string of top 10 finishes is done. They red flag it for the cleanup.
Yeah, and it's one of those accidents. The guy who caused it, he's still racing.
Smart strategy, though.
Yeah, you know, I would. Yeah, definitely. I would just miss the shift every time. Lap 81 restart. Sammy Smith, Sam Mayer out front with Allgaier and Creed behind. Smith gets ahead of Mayer. Lap 85. Parker Kligerman, one of the Dash for Cashers, he brings out the yellow flag. His left front tire's down. Lap 91 restart. Sammy Smith back out in front. Sam Mayer hits the curb, comes out of the groove, falls back from second all the way outside the top 10 within two laps. Lap 100, it's Sammy Smith, Allgaier, Kvaal, and Eric Almirola. Lap 111, 10 to go in the stage. Allgaier is working over Sammy Smith and muscles him out for the lead.
Yeah, Allgaier ends up winning the stage, followed by Amarola, Sammy Smith, Kvaal, and Custer in the top five. Creed, Jones, Chandler Smith, Jeb Burton, and Ryan Sieg round out the top 10. Junior Motorsports first stage win of the season.
Yeah, we're awfully late in the season for that.
Stage three, we see.
Oh, it's funny. Stuff. Okay, so Allgaier, earlier in the race, he's talking to his crew chief, and he's like, yeah, car's running well, blah, blah, blah. And the crew chief jokes, we haven't messed anything up for you. And Justin's like, no, there's still plenty of time for that.
And it happens. He has a slow pit stop. He drops five spots to sixth. So when we restart, it's Almirola and Sammy Smith on the front row. Also a slow stop for Kvaal, who drops out of the top 10. Taylor Gray, who's just outside the top 10, had a penalty for over the wall too soon, so he has to serve his penalty. They restart with one lap 131. Amarola's in a rocket ship. He gets in front of Creed and the two Smiths with 100 to go. It's Joe Gibbs Racing in the top three with Amarola, Chandler Smith, and Sheldon Creed. And then 19 laps later, we get a debris caution. Everybody pits, and this is likely the last time as they're all out of tires.
Yeah, Amarola and Creed are out front. Kvaal lost another four spots, so he drops nine spots and two pit stops. This was his first Xfinity race, so I don't know how much action he had with live pit stops. I know in ARCA they do the not live ones. So Kligerman didn't pit. He has no tires left. So he does not pit. He'll start out front, but Almirola has no problem getting by because he's got new tires. 54 to go. We get a caution. Garrett Smithley brings out the caution. They're going to restart with 46 to go. They got side-by-side racing here. It's pretty good racing. Almirola trying to get in front of his teammate. He finally gets by, and Sheldon Creed follows by.
Yep, and then let's see, the 25 to go. It's Almirola with a 1 second lead, followed by Chandler Smith and Sam Mayer. Two laps later, Chandler Smith with an unfriendly pass of his teammate Creed, and Sam Mayer gets by two. With 20 to go, Amarola's cruising. He's got a 2.2 second lead over Chandler Smith, but lap traffic is coming. And then on with 17 to go, it's bad news for Eric Almirola. Ryan Sieg spins from 15th place and brings out the yellow.
Yeah. Then I thought this was a questionable choice. The bottom lane, you want to be on the bottom.
Yep.
And Eric Almirola took the top. So this is with 11 to go. Almirola does not.
Are you saying this race is fixed at this point?
I don't know. It's just a bad decision, I thought. Almirola doesn't get a very good start. Chandler Smith takes the top spot with 10 to go. But Almirola powers by. He doesn't give up. 9 to go. Like I said, this was a much better race than the Cup race. Almirola powers by with 9 to go, and it's Sam Mayer chasing them. They look like the two best cars. 7 to go. Mayer and Almirola are side by side. Mayer knows that is ahead just as the yellow comes out. A bunch of backbenchers make contact. And there's just cars all over the place. So we're going to get what they call NASCAR overtime.
Ooh, we love that. Sam Mayer's on the inside. Almirola's on the outside. Creed and Chandler Smith in the second row. And then, holy poof, we go three wide. It's Sam Mayer and Creed banging. That allows Almirola to get out in front. He takes the white flag, but then the race ends under caution as Riley Herbst crash brings out the yellow, wins the dash for the cash. Almirola, who led 148 of the 250 laps, gets his first short track win in any of the three race series. Sam Mayer, Chandler Smith, Carson Kvyat. Kvyat in fourth place in his first career Xfinity race. And then Justin Allgaier rounds out the top five. The rest of the top 10 is Creed, Sammy Smith, Cole Custer, Love, and Josh Williams.
Yeah. So our playoff picture here, Chandler Smith, Austin Hill, both in with multiple wins. After that, on points, it's Cole Custer, Jesse Love, Justin Allgaier, Riley Herbst, Parker Kligerman, AJ Allmendinger, Sammy Smith, Sheldon Creed, Fast Pasta. Ooh, that's weird because he just keeps finishing like 13th. I guess that gets you in 12th place. And then SVG.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, he has a whole bunch of drivers breathing down his neck, though. Brandon Jones is 2 points back. Ryan Sieg's 3 points back. Sam Mayer jumped up 8 spots the last 3 races. He's just 17 back. And like we said, Almirola may be thinking he should have done the old dinger. He's not eligible for the playoffs since he's running part-time, but he's got the win, which would get him in. He's also 11th in the points, despite driving three less races than everyone else.
Yeah.
But his family was there at Victory Lane. He was giving them hugs. They all love him, so he's enjoying the time off.
In the trucks, we had the Long John Silver's 200 in Martinsville.
Fish and chips.
Yeah, we had the battle of Cookout 400 and Long John Silver's.
Yeah, anyway, Hendrick drivers. Motorsports wasn't in this race, so Long John Silver actually got some recognition.
Three drivers topped the previous track record in qualifying. They were led by Ty Majeski on the pole with Christian Eckes alongside him on the front row, and then Lane Riggs in row two. He was joined by Corey Heim. Stage one, Eckes plows past Majeski on the start. And then midway through the first stage, lap 25, not much has changed. It's Eckes, Majeski, Riggs, and Heim. Lap 29, though, Thad Moffitt is around to bring out the yellow. Feels like he may be one of the leaders in the truck series incident standings.
Yeah, he might be the Quinn Houff of truck racing this year.
Only a few trucks pit. Among them is Dean Thompson, William Swalick, and Cam Waters.
Yeah, we get a penalty, though. This is weird. Dean Thompson, like we said, there's only like three or four trucks on the lead lap pitting, and he had a big gap over the other trucks pitting, so there was really no urgency, but someone jumped over the box too soon. It's inexcusable.
Yeah, and he was in sixth when this happened, too.
So and now he's not in sixth. Now he is not.
We restart on lap 37. Eckes flies out to a huge start again. Jack Wood is out of the groove, but no yellow flag. Eckes goes on to win the stage by a second and a half, followed by Majeski, Riggs, Heim, and Nick Sanchez. Ben Rhodes, Tyler Ankrum, Jake Garcia, Caden Honeycutt, and Chase Purdy round out Bama the buggies. Top 10. Hell yeah, Bama buggies. Stage two, slow stop for Lane Riggs. He had the double pump. He goes all the way back to 24th from third. Some trucks didn't pit, which included Eckes, Ankrum, Sanchez, and Purdy.
Yep. On the restart, Eckes breaks away from Ankrum as Ankrum and Sanchez are banging on each other. Lap 65, Tanner Gray, Matt Crafton, and Mason Massey, and Justin Carroll. I can only explain it as a soft pile. The cars seem to be going about 20 miles an hour, and they all end up in the same place. So not a lot of damage, just they had to throw out the yellow because they're in the way. And it was all caused by Crafton. It looked like his steering locked up. So,
and they restart on lap 74. No one is challenging Eckes at this point. Ankrum and Purdy duke it out for second with 24 left to go on the stage. Riggs spins around. He's knocked off kilter by Jack Wood, who got nudged by Sammy Smith. So the long pit stop by Riggs bites him in the rear even more.
Yeah. Lap 84 restart. Eckes runs Purdy up the track. Bama buggies. Eckes out to the lead. Ankrum clears Purdy too. Lap 98. Daniel Dye. I said he punted Spencer Boyd. He didn't really punt him. He just forgot he had brakes and ran into his back. Boyd gets into Riggs, and that brings out the yellow flag. Stage finishes under yellow. Eckes sweeps the stages. Ankrum, Purdy, Majeski, and Honeycutt round out the top five. Garcia, Thompson, Curry, Taylor Gray, and Sawalich round out the top 10. Eckes has led every lap in the first two stages. So this is a...
Oh, looks like he's going to win easily. But he does, in that final stage break, he does finally have to pit. We see a long pit stop by Chase Purdy. 18 trucks stayed out, so Eckes will start in 19th place. They restart on lap 110. Majeski's out front and gets ahead of Taylor Gray and Sawalich. Eckes needs just 7 laps to get up to 12th place, though.
Yep, lap 121, Eckes breaks into the top 10. But out front, it's Majeski, Taylor Gray, and Nick Sanchez. Lap 134, 67 to go. Caden Honeycutt goes around, has front damage from running into Daniel Dye. We got a bunch of trucks at the back of the lead lap get in the accidents, including Rhodes, Crafton, and Sammy Smith.
Yep, we restart with 60 to go. Majeski's in front of Sanchez. Next lap, we see Eckes do a 2-for-1 pass to get by Heim and Friesen into fourth place. He's charging ahead. So as we look at it, the top three, Majeski, Sanchez, and Taylor Gray with Eckes right behind them.
Yeah, then we're going to get a rough couple laps for friend of the program, Grant Enfinger. First, he gets banged into the wall by Rajah Karuth. Then a few laps later, he gets contact from Rhodes in the back end and goes up the track into Dean Thompson. Thompson hard into the wall.
Yeah, then we restart with 46 to go. It's Majeski and Sanchez in the front row, Taylor Gray and Christian Eckes in the second row. Majeski doesn't get a good start, but he's able to hold off Sanchez and Eckes. Three laps later, Brett Holmes and Justin Carroll get into the wall to bring out another caution. So we restart with 36 to go. It's Majeski and Sanchez out front again, Eckes and Taylor Gray in the second row, but they flip-flop from the last start with Eckes on the inside. Majeski gets out front, and just as Eckes is passing Sanchez for second, we get our ninth caution of the day. Lawless Allen, Jack Wood, Jake Garcia, and Cam Waters. It's just a chain reaction incident from stuff happening ahead. Rajah Karuth, though, is able to save it.
Yeah, we're running out of talent at this point. reshuffled for the restart with 28 to go. This time it's Majeski and Eckes, the two best trucks on the day. They're finally out front next to each other. Eckes needs 2.5 laps to finally 2.5 laps. He finally clears Majeski. Did some big banging to get by. Then 24 to go. Lane Riggs, Cam Waters, getting an incident. They've both been plucked more times than the Rosa Tralee. Jake Garcia also gets big damage. Not a great night for those two Thor Sport trucks of Cam Waters and Jake Garcia.
And then 7 laps later with 17 to go, we restart. The two best trucks of the day are starting out front with Eckes and Majeski. No challenge for Eckes, but we do see Nick Sanchez take the second spot. 11 to go. Caution number 11, Grant Enfinger brings this one out. Matt Mills Has his hood all the way up.
Blocking yeah, he's like him. Looking through the. He's looking through the thingy. The one flaps up, and he's like looking.
And then Stuart Friesen didn't seem to get into the throttle coming out of the turn, so Enfinger got into his rear end. Stuart Friesen drops a lot of bad language on the radio about Enfinger. And then Mills's bear bond didn't keep the hood down, so he has to go back on pit road. Doesn't work again, so he has to go in, have the hood cut off, and an extra yellow flag laps are needed. We restart with three to go. Ekis goes unchallenged on the start again. He takes the white flag with a half-second lead. He wins easy. And then we see Friesen dump Timmy Hill.
Yeah. And then Timmy Hill confronts Friesen. Timmy Hill is even though his name's the Intimidator, he's one of the most hard to get his blood boiling, but his blood was boiling. And he told Stuart Friesen it was a hack move. And Stuart, to his credit, agrees. At first, he tries to use the excuse that everybody else was like using him up. But he's like, hey, I've never raced you that way. So why are you doing it to me? He's like, yeah, I don't know. So it was, I would have liked to have seen a fight. I would have liked to see. Timmy Hill is big, by the way. Not big, fat, but big, tall. Taller than I thought he would be. Sasquatchel. Sasquatchel's the term I was thinking of.
Huge points race for Ekis and Majeski. Ekis swept the 60 points. Majeski took home 51 points. Others in the top five, Chase Purdy, Nick Sanchez, and Tyler Ankrum. The others in the top 10 are Taylor Gray, Rajah Caruso, Sammy Smith, Caden Honeycutt, and Corey Heim. Second top 10 in three races for Honeycutt. Finishes of 6th, 12th, and 9th. As we look at the playoff pictures after six races, two are in with multiple wins. Christian Ekis is the lone driver with two wins. Corey Heim, Nick Sanchez, Rajah Caruso with one win apiece.
Doesn't make any sense.
Other six that would be in the playoff points leaders, Ty Majeski, Tyler Ankrum, Taylor Gray, Matt Crafton, Grant Enfinger, and Ben Rhodes. Currently on the outside looking in, Tanner Gray is 6 points back, Jake Garcia 23 points out.
Yeah. So that's it. That was we're caught up. So now where we're going, gosh.
Your hometown track.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we got the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400 at Texas Motor Speedway. This will be Sunday. The race is at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, coverage starting at 2 on Fox Sports 1, the Performance Racing Network, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. It's 400 and a half miles, 267 laps, stages of 80, 85, and 102. Sonny Dykes, the head football coach for TCU, will be the grand marshal. And then we got Ty Dillon driving for colleague Austin Hills in the number 33 for RCR, and Jimmy Johnson in the Legacy Motor Club, number 84.
Yeah. We get Texas coach as a grand marshal at COTA. Get the TCU coach. Like, I don't want to get this on record, but I feel like I need to there needs to be some terrorist activity to shut down those two tracks, so we got to come back to Texas World Speedway.
There you go.
Right down the street from Santa's Wonderland.
Yeah.
And get racing there so we can get Mike Elko being the
grand marshal.
Yeah,
because they building houses there now, though.
I think they're gonna build houses. They for a while they stored all the cars from the floods in Houston.
Yeah, that's right. We have 23 different drivers have won Texas. 23 different drivers have won at Texas all time. 8 previous winners are active. 7-time winner Jimmy Johnson's in the race. 4-time winner Kyle Busch. Denny Hamlin has 3 wins. And then William Byron, Tyler Reddick, Kyle Larson, and Austin Dillon and Joey Logano have all won. One last year's winner was William Byron. But we've had 7 different winners in the last 7 races here.
Yeah, going back, starting from last year, Byron, Reddick, Larson, Busch, Austin Dillon, the now retired Kevin Harvick, and Denny Hamlin. Only had 2 first-time cup winners in this the 43 races here. Jeb Burton in 1997, Dale Jr. in 2000. So if you're thinking about picking a first-time winner, don't do it.
Yeah, and then it's been close, but no cigar for the Fords. The last 5 races, no wins, but 4 drivers with the best average finishes are Ford guys. That's Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, Chase Briscoe, and Kevin Harvick. Keselowski is the only driver to finish in the top 10 each of the last 5 races.
So my long shot, I think this might have been his – I didn't look it up. I meant to look up. I think this might be his last good moment on the track. Austin Dillon won in 2022 here at Texas. So, and that year they finished 1-2. Reddick and Austin Dillon finished 1-2 for RCR.
All right.
I think we were at that race.
Not the Austin Dillon one, were we?
I think so.
No,
I
we were
might have
at
been. No,
no,
I think
we
I was at the
you were
race
at
by
that one,
myself.
the
You
one that
didn't
we were
go.
at with our good friend. That was when Kyle Larson won.
Yeah, I went by myself because I was irritated because Truex should have won that race. It ended really late. It had a really long rain delay. And yeah.
My long shot is Michael McDowell.
Ooh, okay. This
Yeah,
isn't a road course.
yeah, I know, but I feel like
It's
he's been
not a
racing
super
well.
speedway.
His average finish here since 2021, 14.3, so not terrible if you really
Okay.
want to go for a long shot. The other one would be Suarez. He's got two top 10 finishes in that point, but I'm going to go with Michael McDowell over him.
I'm going to let you pick because I forgot to put a name down. I put why I picked the guy, but I didn't put so you go first.
I'm gonna go, and this seems like it'll be obvious, but I'm gonna go with William Byron. Got a win, two top fives, and in the last three races, he's finished in the top 10, and he's been head and shoulders above everybody the last few races.
Seems like you're not really going out on a limb there.
No, not really.
That's sad. What do you think about the big hat?
I think it's overplayed now.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool when they first came out, but I mean that's a shtick, so I'm about it. It's different and unique.
Okay. That's weird. You can't tell I'm just killing time. Oh, I'm going Christopher Bell.
Yeah.
He has no wins. But he has top five finishes in four of the last five races here. So Christopher Bell. I didn't put his name down. I put why I paid. So then I had to go back and look at my stats and see why I picked him. And there it was.
In the Xfinity Series, we have the Andy's Frozen Custard 300 at Texas Motor Speedway. This race will be Saturday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Coverage starting at 12:30 on Fox Sports 1, PRN, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. 300 miles, 200 laps, stages of 45, 45, and 110. We don't have any bushwhackers in the race, but we do have two truck whackers. Corey Heim for Sam Hunt Racing, and then Taylor Gray for Joe Gibbs Racing. JGR, we also have Ryan Truex in the number 20, Daniel Dye driving for Kolig Racing in the number 10, and then we got Matty D in the number 38 for Ryan Sieg Racing.
Yeah, 45 Xfinity races have been held at Texas Motor Speedway. That's two more than the Cup Series. No Eric Almirola in the race. So even though he won the Dash for Cash this past week, he won't be in this Dash for Cash. It'll be Junior Motorsports drivers, Sam Mayer and Justin Allgaier, and then two Joe Gibbs Racing drivers, Chandler Smith and Sheldon Creed.
Then only one previous winner in the race, that was Cole Custer, who won all the way back in 2018. Last year, the race was won by John Hunter Nemechek, followed by Parker Klingerman and Sammy Smith. And his five starts at Texas Motor Speedway, Austin Hill has two top fives and three top tens, including a runner-up finish in 2022. The Dinger has four top tens, including one top five in his four starts. And then Justin Allgaier, who crashed in the fall of the 2022 race, but his other four results since 2021 are second, two fourths, and a fifth.
Yeah, so my winner, those Allgaier numbers are really good, but Joe Gibbs Racing this year has been plowing through the competition. And then last year they finished first and third here, and Chandler Smith finished fourth. And he's now for a colleague, he's now driving for JGR. So I put all that into the hopper, I spun it around, and it's Chandler Smith.
All right. See, I think you'd be an idiot not to take Justin Allgaier with his results. He's always been the bridesmaid, never the bride. I think he gets it done on Saturday.
Speaking of always the bridesmaid, Mack Crafton,
Oh.
43 races at the truck race here. I don't think he has a win.
So Friday, we have the SpeedyCash.com 250. That race is at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, coverage starting at 7:30. On Fox Sports 1, the Motor Racing Network, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. It's going to be 250 and a half miles, 167 laps, stages of 40, 40, and 87. This seems still seems concerning. We only have 34 trucks. There are 36 spots. So where's like the Jennifer Jo Cobbs, Norm Benning? Like, where are they
Yeah.
at?
Yeah. I don't know. We do have two bushwhackers. We got Zane Smith in the 91 for, I'm just gonna say MHR because I always screw up McElnane, McAnally, Higelman, and then we got Kyle Busch in the Spire Motorsports. I was wrong. Matt Crafton has two wins
Yeah.
in 43 races, so not always a bridesmaid, just a bridesmaid a lot.
Yeah, there have been 49 truck races here at Texas Motor Speedway, 27 different winners. As you mentioned, Crafton has run 43 races here with 30 top 10s and 17 top fives. Kyle Busch has 14 starts here, 5 wins. The most recent 2020 has 10 top fives and 14 races.
Yeah, Stuart Friesen on 11 starts. He won the 2022 race. He has the 5 top 5, 6 top 10s, Grand Enfinger 11 starts. Fi also has 5 top 5s, 7 top 10s. I was at the race last year. Carson Hocevar won that race, his first career win. He is one of 6 drivers to get their first truck race win at Texas. The others were Jeb Burton, Clint Bowyer, recognize that name, Brendan Gaughan, Travis Kvaal, whose son just had the big Xfinity race last week, and then Brian Reffner. So who are you going?
I am gonna go with the easy choice of Kyle Busch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Our golden rule is if Kyle Busch is in the race, you pick him. That's
Yeah.
why before you asked, before the podcast recording, you asked me who you should pick, and I gave you a name that wasn't Kyle Busch.
So I'm going against you, but
Okay.
it's not you, it's me.
Well, I am going to go with, unless you looked at the actual stats, you would not know that Nick Sanchez dominated the race last year. He led 168 of the 172 laps, but he finished in 16th place because he might, maybe, possibly might have been, could have been wrecked by Carson Hocevar. That's what a lot of people were saying on the social media. So yeah, Nick Sanchez, I think he gets his second win of the year.
All right. As we head to our favorite, who are your favorite paint schemes? I know mine.
Yeah, I'll let you say yours.
The Hooters, it's back. Chase Elliott, it's got the big old owl on the side, little black, and I wouldn't say it's the night owl, but the Hooters is back.
I think it's half night owl though. Like, there's a lot of orange in this one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the full black one. It's just Hooters.
And I feel like Chase Elliott and Kyle Busch have let us down this year.
Yeah, no, they have.
No free nothing.
Yeah. I'm
And then
trying. Well,
top.
the Hooters here closed, so that's very sad.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Lafayette seems like a very Hooter town. Do you get a replacement? Is there like a Twin Peaks or is there
Yeah, we
a.
do have a Twin Peaks.
Okay, what's the other one? There's Tilted Kilt.
Yeah. We do not have that, I don't believe.
Okay, so I got Bubba Wallace in the red, white, and blue Columbia sportswear car. I think it's fish gills on the side, but the car's red, white, and blue. It looks pretty
Yeah,
sharp.
that one's not bad.
Todd Gilliland, I'm always going to say Long John Silver. And then Ty Gibbs in the Green Lightning, number 54. Sort of like the Ricky Stenhouse Buffalo, Blue Buffalo.
Yeah, I like that
Car.
one too.
And then if this has seafood, Ty Dillon, Colic Racing, appears to have found a new sponsor, Seabest Seafood.
That
So I don't know if
one's
that,
pretty cool too.
yeah. So now going to the Xfinity series, like I want to say they always sponsor Andy's Frozen Custard. In the Cup Series, they would sponsor Austin Dillon.
Yeah.
And in Xfinity, they would sponsor AJ Allmendinger. How do you not, your frozen custard, how do you not sponsor Cole Custer?
Yeah, that's interesting.
But they finally did. The double zero is Andy Frozen Custard car this week. So there you go. A right has been wronged. A wrong has been righted.
The one I like, Sheldon Creed, and the number 18, Friends of Jacqueline Foundation.
Okay, yeah,
Pretty
he's been
cool.
running that quite a bit. I really like that one. And then one I had, Sam Mayer in the Carolina Carports. It looks like a Ball State Northern Illinois. Well, no, Northern Illinois is not the
Louisville.
Cardinals. Looks like Ball State Cardinal logo on the side. And Carolina Carports reminds me of the University of Texas athletic website. It's Texas Sports, but if you separate it, it's Tex Asports. Like there's a guy named Tex that sells ports where you can store your asses, like donkeys, or your ass.
Yeah, that always
So,
made me laugh.
yeah. And then,
The other one I liked, sorry to interrupt, the Brennan Poole and the 44 Prime Bites Brownie. It's like
See, I really didn't
purple.
like that one. They
Oh, you
like a lot
didn't?
of times they try to attract me with food. That one really didn't get me.
Oh, I liked it.
And then Jeremy Clements, he's got a blue bull on the side of his for First Pacific Funding. I don't know what a blue bull has to do with
Like a bull
that.
market.
Oh, jeez. That's why you're the big penny stock guy. You dominate or crypto man. And then this one's going to be in both the truck and the Xfinity, the Gray brothers, Taylor Gray in the Xfinity number 19 Operation 300 car, nonprofit supporting children who've lost family members in the military.
Good cause, good paint scheme.
And then,
In the truck race, I really like Kyle Busch's Real Tree Chevrolet. It's got like a, it's interesting because it's got camo on the hood and a little bit on the side, and then the rest is like a lime green, but I like it.
there you go. And then, as I said, this one, Tanner Gray's in the Operation 300. So, and then Chris Wright in a America's Auto Auction S Mark. It's a red, white, and blue truck. So, we
And
like
then
America.
Chase Purdy in the 77 Bama Buggies.
Are you sure? I didn't see a picture of it. They don't like to turn their picture in the
Oh, no, they
NASCAR.
do. It's on there.
Okay. It must have been a late ad.
That
So that's it. We caught up on everything. Sorry we missed last week. I was hosting a golf tournament, and who knows what you were doing. You were probably not doing much. So,
not per usual, but it's fun to be back.
yeah, I'll report live. I'm going to the truck race tomorrow. You're listening. It's not tomorrow when you're listening. I'm going to the truck race Friday, and then probably watch the other one because I'm going to be honest, not a big fan of Texas.
Yeah, it's all right, but and it's what, 3.5 hours to get there from College Station?
Yeah, I'll let Denny Hamlin speak for me on this topic. Yeah.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Enjoy the truck race. Are you getting a credential or are you just going as a
No,
fan?
it was a late decision. I was supposed to work a baseball game tomorrow, and they actually found a worker, so
All right.
yeah.
So that'll be it. We appreciate you guys for listening. We'll be back next week, break down all three races, and get you caught up for the week ahead. For Thomas, I'm Evan. We'll see ya.
I grew up in Texas where football was my game. Until that racing fever started burning in my brain. Started running mini stocks when I was 13 and won a short track championship when I was just 16. I met a man named Harry Hyde and he built a car for me. Sponsored by Granddaddy Hillen's Drilling Company. We ran in 5 Grand Nationals when I was 17. My Talladega finish was the start of my big dream. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. And I'm glad I had Granddaddy on my side. You've given me my wings, now it's up to me to fly. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. Now some may say that Lady Luck has given me the breaks. I must admit she smiled a bit, but it's me that runs the race. Now you can't be a champion due to luck or circumstance. I'll do the best I can for those who've given me the chance. Thank you for the ride.